Exodus chapter 9 and verse number 13. And the Lord said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart and upon thy servants and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand and I will smite thee and thy people with pestilence. Thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, that my name shall be declared throughout all the earth. As yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would use what we're going to study tonight. Lord, it's interesting to be able to open up parts of the Bible and see it with fresh eyes in light, in the light of current events. So, Lord, I pray, dear God, that I'm sure many folks could testify to the things that you've taught them in the last few months. I know I certainly can in my own personal life. Lord, I pray as we just examine as a congregation a few of these together, you'll help us, Lord, not to soon forget lessons that ought to be learned, that need to be learned. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Certain things that have happened, of course, since 2020 that none of us could have seen coming. Nobody predicted it. Nobody saw it. And unprecedented things that have happened in our country. And the way that we've watched, I think, our government and learned some things about the good parts of our government and the dangerous parts about our government. I think that we've learned some things about God's people. I think we've learned some things about our fellow Americans. And some of those things, honestly, have been encouraging. But there's been some things that, honestly, it's made me just stop and pause and thought and think, you know what? I'm not sure not every preacher in America doesn't need to stand up in the midst of all of this and just point out some things and say, folks, listen to me. First of all, we've got to stand for the right things no matter what the circumstances around us are. Also, we've got to be careful that we don't just give in to what the majority of people are doing or want to do or think is right to do, that we've always got to make sure that we are making decisions in light of Bible principles, not just in reaction to present circumstances. And so some of the things that have happened over the course of the, and I'm talking about the COVID-19. I started this series really focusing in on this and was going to make the series more about that. But folks, I'm telling you what, America's changing so quickly. And I have a buddy lives out in Colorado. He's a retired Army guy. And he texted me the other day and he said, did you hear the joke about the cure for COVID-19? And I said, no. And he said, oh, you ought to hear it. It's a riot. That's what he told me. So you want to cure COVID-19? That's the way you do it right there. I got to tell you one funny story. Tabitha, of course, out in California, you know, where it's been nuttier than most places. And it seemed like in the last couple months when we were all on house arrest, you know, every time Jalen, my oldest little California grandkid, every time she'd want to do something, you know, she finally figured out, Mom, can we go to the park today? And honey, no, we can't go to the park today. She finally hung her head and said, it's that stinking virus, isn't it? It's that stinking virus. Mom, can we go get ice cream next day? Can we get ice cream? Honey, we can't go get ice cream today. Mom, is it because of that stinking virus? Yeah, honey, it's the stinking virus, you know. And so she said, she kept saying that over and over. Every time they wanted to go somewhere, it was the stinking virus's fault. Well, when they finally got to go back to church, all the kids were in the backyard behind the church playing, you know. And Tabitha and some of the mothers were watching the kids. And Jalen's out there organizing a game of tag. And she says to the girl that's it, now, listen, you close your eyes and count to 10. When you open your eyes, you're the stinking virus. And all the rest of us are going to go hide. And so the girl bows her head, starts counting to 10, and all the kids are screaming, hide, hide, the stinking virus is going to get us, hide. So The innocency of children. Praise the Lord for the innocency of children. But yeah, that stinking virus. I think a lot of us walk around now saying, yeah, it's that stinking virus. You know, but I want to share some things with you. Some of them from the Bible, because I feel like in some ways, some of the prophecy that I believed, it's not that we didn't believe it, but have you ever had the parts of the prophecy that just kind of like, okay, I know that's going to happen, but how in the world is that going to happen? All of a sudden, over the last couple of months, I'm looking at this going, Antichrist isn't going to have much problem at all. Some of the things that I thought, how in the world is he going to be able to get folks to follow and do and all of this stuff? And we've seen folks, I think the devil running some trial runs here about how he's going to implement what he's going to do in the last days. And listen, folks, I don't believe, I'm not one that believes in this. I know there's a group of folks out there that's decided to rethink the whole pre-trib thing, and we've got some pre-tribbers and that have moved to mid-tribbers and some mid-tribbers that have gone to post-tribber. I think, you know what, I started pre-trib. I think I'm just going to end at pre-trib. And I think it's always a dangerous thing to pull from the Bible things that make it easy for us not to believe that Christ could come now. I think one of the great motivational factors that God intended there to be built into the doctrine of the rapture of the church, the soon coming of Christ, is the fact that, you know what, we need to be on our toes. We need to be ready. And, well, some people are saying this has to happen, this has to happen, this has to happen. Well, in other words, until we see those things happen, let's just kind of, no, I don't believe it. I think the next thing on God's prophetic calendar is that trumpet sounding. And so, but having said that, even though I'm pre-trib, having said that, that does not mean that we as Christians will not have to face some tribulation prior to the 7 years of tribulation. Matter of fact, I'm telling you, we got that idea because we live in America, and we've kind of fallen asleep because we live in America. But there are Christians all over this world, folks that have still, I'm talking about 2019 and so far in 2020, become martyrs for the cause of Christ, have laid down their lives for Christianity. And I read a statistic once, and I read it, and from the Voice of the Martyrs, that said more people have been martyred in the last 100 years than in the previous history of Christianity. And a lot of the things that you're hearing about on the news, they don't tell you who's being slaughtered and who's being killed and why they're being killed. But especially in countries where the Muslims are taking over, folks, people are dying, still dying today for their faith. Well, wait a minute. Why as Americans we get the idea that in other parts of the world it's okay for them to suffer tribulation, a measure of tribulation and persecution before Jesus comes, but somehow we're just going to get this, you know, easy ride in. Folks, the landscape is changing. I'm going to talk about end time things tonight. I'm going to get into it. But also then next week, I think some next week and maybe in the week after, I want to talk about how all this has affected the local New Testament church. And so I'll save back some of that when I deal with those issues there. We read in Exodus, I like the law first mentioned. I like to see when a first word first appears in the Bible. But all of a sudden, a little known Bible word that we kind of just read over and maybe didn't even understand the meaning of, found in verse number 15, that word pestilence. All of a sudden, that thing is glowing off the pages of the Bible. Say, preacher, what does that mean? Well, if you look at the usage of the word in the Hebrew and its root word, you would rightly define pestilence as a disease or some type of a physical ailment or disease that's used by God to speak at times, to teach something, to subdue, and if necessary, to destroy the ones that are afflicted by it. If you look at the word itself, it talks about this idea of a plague or a murine or some physical element that God uses to pronounce or to destroy or to declare something. In other words, he uses this to get our attention sometimes. And then if it doesn't get our attention, he can use the same very thing to destroy a nation. By the way, that's what's happening right in the middle of this story right here. One of the things that's pronounced that Moses was supposed to say to Pharaoh when he stood before him was, hey, God is sending these things so that you'll understand. See, Pharaoh was worshipped as a little g god. And you know what, folks? There's a lot of the world that's worshipping a a little g god. There's a lot of Americans that are worshiping a little g god. And when God sees that going on, sometimes he said, I'll just send some things. Then you do this. You go pray to those little g gods and see how you do. See if they help you out. See if they bail you out. And so there's times that God purposely unleashes these type of things. We see that in Exodus. But this is on, you say, well, preacher, but that's on Egypt. I mean, that those kind of things aren't going to happen to Christian people or a Christian nation. Over to Leviticus chapter number 26, I want to show you what God said to his people, Israel, concerning this idea of pestilence and the way he would be willing to, if he had to, use them in their life. In Leviticus chapter number 26, we'll look at verse number 14, Leviticus chapter 26, and then verse number 14. Well, the whole chapter, it's a lot in this chapter. I'm going to read verse 14, then jump down to where I want to draw your attention to. But look at verse 14, Leviticus 26, 14. But if ye will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, then he pronounces some chastisements upon the nation. But look, if you will, down to verse number 23. And if ye will not be reformed by me, by these things, he said, I'm going to send first chastisement, second chastisement, starting verse 21, third. But if ye will not be reformed, boy, that's a good word, by me, by these things, but will walk contrary unto me. Hey, is America walking contrary to the Lord? Is America walking contrary to the words of God and the principles of God's word? Well, folks, if God is not going to withhold these things on his chosen people, I don't know who we think we are. We're just another Gentile nation that we're blessed to partake of the grace of God. And yeah, I know we were founded on some Christian principles, and I know that there are some things that are unique. But let me tell you something. If he won't make allowances for Israel, he's not going to make allowances for us. He goes on to say, then will I also walk contrary unto you. Boy, isn't that something? And will punish you yet seven times for your sins. I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when ye are gathered together, where? Within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. Isn't it interesting there? I mean, just go to the map and look at where the hot spots of where all of this has happened and where is it happening at. Go to the map of Indiana. You can go on NGov right now, the map of Indiana. You can look at all of the cases and all of the counties. And I'm going to tell you, the biggest hot spots are where the people are gathered together into their cities. You know why? Because when he sends the plague of pestilence, when he sends a pestilence, where there's the most concentration of people, the most are going to be affected. And God said, why would I allow this? Why would I do this? Let's not lose sight of what he said in verse 13. And if ye will not be reformed by me by these things. In other words, I've sent judgments along into your life, sometimes individually, sometimes into a family, sometimes into a church, sometimes into a nation. This one touched the whole world. And he said, but if ye will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you and will punish you. I don't know, folks. What are we going to do? How are we going to get this across to America? How are we going to get this across to American, even American Christians? This whole idea that we're just going to look at the King James Holy Bible, know what it says, turn around and walk absolutely opposite to it, and God's just going to have to go stand over in the corner and deal with it. You know, it's his problem, not mine. No, he's about to make it America's problem. What are you saying, preacher? What's this all about? Why are you teaching this tonight? We need revival. We need revival in America. We need God's people to get serious once again. We need God's people to stop dabbling around in pet sins and foolish sins. And we need to rediscover holiness. It needs to start in your heart and then in your home. And if it starts in each of our hearts and each of our homes, that it can spread into the body of believers in our assembly. But listen, God's not going to just keep looking down and seeing a bunch of rebellious children walk contrary to the scriptures and just say, oh, well, I think a lot of the things that we're seeing is God not punishing just Pharaoh and the Egyptians, but now he's dealing with his own people. He's dealing with the Church of Jesus Christ. And so I want you to understand what this is, that it is predicted in Scripture. If you'll go over to Matthew chapter 24, we'll look at one more place and kind of lay the groundwork with this first point. But God has and will, has in the past, and I think will especially in the last days, it's predicted in Matthew chapter 24, that one of the things he's going to use is this matter of pestilence amongst our people and amongst our country and even around the world. Matthew chapter 24, and if you'll look in verse number 1, Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 1. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Interesting verse 3, listen. And as he said upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the what? End of the world. Begins in verse number 4 then. It says, Jesus answered and said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. I talked about all of the things that are happening and how we're starting to see something happen, and then here comes another one, here comes another one. And I talk about this idea of birth pains, because God likens the last days and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He kind of uses the illustration of a woman that is getting closer and closer to delivering a baby, and those labor pains at first, they're not super intense and they're kind of far apart, but the closer we get to the delivery, the more intense the intensity of the pain and the frequency of the pain. And folks, I really believe what we're seeing is, we may have seen in 2020 was the first real get your attention labor pain. I think there's been other little labor pains, but I think 2020 is one of those where now, wives, can I say this? That's the one when it hits, you look at the husband wide-eyed and say, I think we need to go to the hospital, okay? I think it's time, all right? And if you don't say it, he's looking very wide-eyed saying, get in the car, get in the car. And you know what? I think we need to kind of look each other with a little bit wide eyes and say, Jesus is coming. This is getting serious. It's no longer time to play games. No longer time to, listen, if you've been putting off witnessing to somebody, stop putting it off. You got a loved one? Well, I just decided I'd pray. I'm good for prayer. Good for prayer. I'm glad you have been. Now go to their house. What I'm saying is, we better get some serious about some things, because I think that Jesus is coming soon. Now, when you study pestilence, I'm not going to do the whole study on just this thing, but something that's very interesting, a couple of things caught my attention. One of the things is this. Anytime pestilence is mentioned, it's usually the result of, there's two things that precede it. And this is true. You can study history and see that it's true. You can go to Revelations chapter 5 when you see those four horses come. Same pattern. What happens? Well, the first thing that Jesus mentions here in this is verse number 7. Nations shall rise against nations, kingdoms against kingdoms. When pestilence or disease normally hit and really take a toll, is usually first war, then famines, and then here comes death riding with hell. Okay, those last two horses are coming. And a lot of times the pestilence or the diseases are a result of war and of the famine of war that is produced by war. I mean, study it, folks. In a lot of the wars, the countries where the wars ravaged areas, the majority of the people didn't die as a direct result of the war itself. A lot of them died because of the famine that came after that. And if you don't have proper food and nutrition and you don't have clean water, pretty soon you're going to have all kinds of pestilence that are built into it that ravage a population. Now, think about this. We're talking about COVID-19. We start thinking about that and think, well, wait a minute. This is a pestilence that was unleashed upon the world. And where's the war first and where's the famine? It's almost like the pestilence, it's almost like everything's being turned upside down. It's almost like if the pestilence come, that could produce the famine Okay, I'll mention just a little bit, but I remember driving down to preach Brother Jonathan Reiser's revival, 1st of April, I think it was, or whenever. And it was when some of this was still happening, you know, still kind of developing, last of March, maybe 1st of April. And I drove down there, and honestly, I hardly ever go to Walmart. And I'm glad of that. Well, Cheryl takes care of a lot of the shopping, and I mean, I go in there every great once in a while. But when we went down there for the revival, her mom and dad had asked us to pick a couple things up. We got there a little early. I said, let's go over into Walmart. We walked into Walmart, and I'm going to tell you something. You talk about an eye-opening experience. I mean, this was right about the time that the big rush for everything hit, maybe 3, 4, 5 days into it. I mean, there was a little one at first where people were kind of grabbing a few extra things, and then people just went. And I mean, I'm walking down aisles and looking down entire aisles, and there's hardly anything on the shelf. And the few things that are on there are picked over. I mean, I'm walking through there thinking, I'm in America. This is happening in America, you know. Hey, you know, I think God's sitting there saying, you think you're untouchable? Okay? You've been relying on yourselves for an awful long time. I mean, the only time I hear you, most of you mention me or my son's name is when it's you're cursing. Okay? You know, better read the Ten Commandments again. That will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And yet every teenager out there knows what OMG means. And many of them type it 100 times a day. And I think God just looks down and said, okay. You know, thank God for his mercy. I mean, you know, how many of you would agree? It'd be good. It is, would not be good for me or you to be near the button where, you know, I said, wherever the lightning bolt button is, keep Jerry Ross away from it. I don't have the discernment, patience, or, you know, good sense to be using that thing. I'm glad that some things only God can. Hey, God's patient and long-suffering. And you look at the last 50 years of America. There was a huge, we'll go do a history lesson, but we need to reteach history. But we experienced, and it goes back farther. You can watch this happening over the last about 100 years. But in the last 50 years, especially about the time, end of the 1950s, going to the 1960s, there was a cultural shift in America that was the first one that I think, I mean, you know what? It was a earthquake that showed up on the scale. Something significant happened that changed the country. And, you know, it's interesting because when that happened in the late 50s, 60s, and then into the 70s, that's also the time where God raised up the Independent Fundamental Baptist movement. It's almost like when the devil unleashed his demons, God said, well, I'll just unleash my men. And you know what? There's people that are looking to that at that period of time, and church historians that know more than I do about the subject and are using the phrase Third Great Awakening. There was an unusual thing that happened. But I'm watching this cultural shift that we've been experiencing for about the last 5 years, and I'm not seeing God's people rise up. I mean, I'm thinking to myself, well, the devil's on his A game. Where are we at? What are we doing? And folks, I'm teaching this on purpose, and I think God sending it on purpose. We better settle some things in our heart. I mean, we better settle what we really believe about some things, because it's not going to get easier. And I don't send the children home or the teenagers home discouraged. But you know what? God allowed you to be born when he allowed you to be born, and you were born for such a time as this. Okay, you didn't get to choose that. But God must have put a lot of trust in you. If you truly are going to be the rapture generation, then God's put a lot of trust in you. We can't fail him. We can't fail God now. Now's not the time to quit going to church. Now's not the time to hunker down and give up and quit going soul winning. Now's not the time to give in to, I mean, when have we ever been popular? So, you know, so people say this, or people, so what? And we've got to make up our minds about some things, because if the Church of Jesus Christ begins to go on the defensive, we've lost this thing. And see, listen, I grew up in the middle of it. When all of that nonsense and the hippie movement and the sexual revolution and the marijuana and the drug use and all the crazy, the real cross-dressing started, blatant cross-dressing, blatant nakedness and immorality, and you know what? The Church of Jesus Christ rose up preacher stood and thundered from the pulpit against it. I mean, they took the paint off the walls preaching against this stuff. And you know what I'm seeing now? I'm seeing preachers that are more worried, well, maybe we shouldn't be on the internet because, you know, they could use this stuff against us one of these days. I'm sure that's how Elijah felt. I'm sure that's what he was worried about. Or John the Baptist. Okay? Or those great preachers of the 19th century. I'm sure Lester Roloff was just worried to death. You know? Well, what we better do is just get to our pulpits. And by the way, it just can't be happening in the pulpit. Those of you in the pew have to rise up, and in your circle of influence, you have to be willing to stand up for Jesus and speak up for Jesus. Just don't sit there and cower. Well, you know, you can't. I'm tired of people saying, well, you can't say this anymore. Well, is it right? Yeah, it's right, but man, get on the housetop and shout it if it's right. Preach it if it's right. It isn't time for us to hunker down. All right. I didn't have that in my notes, but man, that felt good. Come on, onward, Christian soldiers, marching into war. I mean, we need to rise up. We need to speak up right now. There's so many things that are being said that are just so blatantly not only untrue and out-and-out lies, but ignorant things. And they're being said out loud in our presence. We just kind of say, well, you know, they might call me this if I say anything about what they just said. Say it anyway. Say it anyway. Okay, because we've got to speak up, folks. So number one, we see this idea of pestilence. Oh, I got to take you to one verse because this was the neatest verse in the whole study on pestilence. Acts chapter 24. And by the way, it's going to back up what I just preached in my little mini sermon within a sermon right there, okay? Acts 24. Okay, Paul's in trouble for what? Preaching again. Preaching. They don't like it, so they call in a hotshot lawyer. They arrest him, then call in a hotshot lawyer. And the hotshot lawyer begins to make his accusations, and Paul finally gets a chance later on to speak for himself. But anyway, let's see what this lawyer is going to say about the apostle Paul here. Look, if you will, in verse number 5. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow. Man, when I hit that on the word study, I jumped out of my chair and started shouting hallelujah. You want to talk about a pestilence? Word to God that Christians and what we had was so contagious that the only way the world could keep from getting saved is wear a mask. Amen. Social distancing. Stay away from those Christians because whatever they have, it's contagious, man. Next thing you know, they get around you and you spend too much time listening to them. Next time you know, you're going to start believing the Bible and accept Jesus and turn it into a fanatic. You realize what he was saying about Paul there? He was saying, we got to do something about this guy. We have got to lock him away. Why? Because he's a pestilent fellow. He has tested positive for Jesus Christ. And everywhere he goes, if he spends any amount of time, there's a bunch of other people testing positive for Jesus Christ because he was a pestilent fellow. Woo, amen. All right, there you go. There's no mask that can save them from that. What's saving the world from that is that we're not pestilent fellows anymore. And boy, when I read that, I thought to myself, God help us, we need revival. All right, so number one, I wanted to mention that word of pestilence. And pestilence is a part of the judgments of the last days. And so, folks, don't be, I think it's the first major thing we've seen, but I think you're going to see this. Should that make you fearful? And that's, oh, well, preacher, then what we better do is, no, what we better do is what the Bible's called us to do. And go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We just have to understand that we're going to be doing it in some chaos that's upcoming. Number two, the population. You know what else I learned? The population can be controlled through fear. The population can be controlled through fear. That's why Proverbs and all through the Bible were warned. Please listen, church. We are warned against this idea of allowing ourselves to be controlled through fear or controlled by our own fear. Proverbs chapter 3, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yeah, Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Boy, I preached it, what I did on purpose Sunday morning, on David living in strong confidence. We need to get our confidence back up. Not confidence in ourselves, confidence in the Lord. And he said, listen, when everything else is hitting around you, don't worry about it. He said, thou shalt walk in thy way safely. Thy foot shall not stumble. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare. Whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Very first service where on a Wednesday night where we just met with the men, maybe it was a Sunday night, Wednesday night, whatever, when I first had just a men's service, I went to this verse and I talked about, listen to me, your family needs you right now to not be controlled by a spirit of fear. What does it mean? And I preached on 3-point outline. What does it mean to have a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind? That's what your family needs. That's what your wife needs to see. That's what your kids need to see. By the way, that's what the people that work with you need to see. Okay, everybody's sitting around and quaking and quivering, and you know what? Somebody's got to step up in the middle of this and dispel lies with facts. That would be a good start right there. But also point people to the Lord, because this is an important time. Hebrews 13:6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. 1 John 4:18, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath not torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. I like this verse, Psalms 56:3. This will help your children. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Now, folks, what the government knows, and what the liberal, wicked, heathen politicians that are demonically possessed, some of them are demonically possessed. That is not an overstatement. They are completely controlled by the prince and power of this era. They are his puppets doing his will, setting up the world for his eventual takeover, although it will be short-lived. But one of the things they've learned by studying history and also by the one that possesses them is this. You can get people to do some things that they would never do if you can get them afraid, if you can get them fearful. And so this is where we have to, young people and wives and husbands, you know what? This is where you have to have strong confidence in the Lord. Okay, but preacher, I read this and I read this and I read this. And boy, remember in the early days of this, there were so many reports coming out and so many crazy predictions and doomsday things. And honestly, in the beginning, we really didn't know what to believe or who to believe or how much of it was legit or whatever. I get it. And I said when I talked to our men that day, I said, you know, when this thing first started happening, you know what, about the time I'm trying to absorb this, here comes another report or here comes another change. And we're trying to adjust to this change and here's another change. And I said to our men in that meeting, I said, guys, let me tell you what I feel like we've done and I think we had to do for a while. We just had to go on the defensive for a while and just kind of, we're dealing with this and we're dealing with this and we're dealing with this. And that's what you kind of have to do when you're underneath an attack. But if you stay there, you're going to be defeated. And at some point, you have to say, I'm not going to operate out of a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. And so I said, I kind of almost had that group meeting and say, okay, guys, this is where we draw the line. This is where we stop reacting and we start acting. Okay, we stop letting all of this nonsense swirling around us control our thinking and we start making some decisions based on the Bible. And so it was a good time for our church and a good time for our men. And I think a turning point in our church there. But folks, listen to me. If the devil can get you scared, and he can keep you scared. Well, preacher, what if? And I heard that they're doing this, and I heard they're threatening to do this. And if we do this, they're going, okay, all right, then let's curl up in a fetal position. Let's just quit on God. You know, I put on the sign here just for a little while, a couple weeks there. I said, it's impossible to serve the Lord. It's impossible to serve the Lord from a fetal position. Get up! Get up! Get up! Okay? And so, you know, it came up there. Listen, you're going to have to be careful. You're going to have to be careful that whatever happens in the future, I know there may be some fearful things happen, but that doesn't mean that we need to be controlled by the spirit of fear. Go back to this verse and draw strength from it. I learned this. I don't think the mark of the beast will be I think it'll be more readily accepted than I originally thought. Now, I already told you the story about walking into Walmart, but that was a wow moment for me. I thought to myself, I never thought I'd live to a time in America where I'd walk into a supermarket and, I mean, you know, probably at that time, they may have only had about a fourth of what they normally have, if that. I'm walking up down the aisles. We only needed a couple handful of things. We weren't there to get anything, what we needed. But I just took a tour of the place to walk and think to myself, wow. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting there thinking about the last days. Because folks, listen to me. We've got babies that need fed. Come on. The children around this church need fed. You know, I mean, this is real life stuff. Okay, you say, well, I'd die before I'd... Okay, maybe you would. You weren't willing to watch your kid die? And you see what the devil's going to use? The leverage he's going to be able to have against those that will not take the mark of the beast? I'm not going to rehash all of the news that's swirling around Bill Gates and all of this stuff, but it's amazing how all the major news networks, I went and studied it out a little bit and read some back articles, but boy, they're playing damage control right now. And every liberal news agency has gone to the defense of Bill Gates because of some things he said that now they want to say we're misinterpreting. But you think about this spirit of fear thing. Okay, two different areas that we're looking at here. The fear of not being able to feed my family. That's a legitimate thing. And then also this idea of the fear of that pestilence that walks in darkness that Brother Moses wrote about, the pestilence that walks in darkness. What does that mean? That means it's invisible. You know, one of the most fearful things, things that are cause the most fear, something you can't see. I mean, you know, if it's somebody coming down my driveway, I can see who the enemy is and what their strength is, but this pestilence that walked in darkness, you know, all of a sudden they're controlling people through fear. You know, what if this person has it? What if that person has it? What if, come on, what if I put my kid in the nursery? Should we be doing Sunday school? How far are the chairs away down there? Come on. Come on. Okay, well, let's just sell the property and I'll stay home and I'll be your TV evangelist, all right? But that's not what a church is. We're going to reaffirm that next Wednesday night. We're going to reaffirm what the Bible definition of a church is, because some of the Christians in America have gotten too comfortable staying at home, watching it on TV, and just deciding they went to church. No, you didn't go to church. No, you didn't go to church. You may watch the rest of us go to church, but you didn't go to church. And everybody sitting at home watching the same thing on a screen is not the assembling of ourselves together. So we're going to blow some trumpets and warn some things about that. I'm going to save some of that. But this spirit of fear. And then the mark of the beast. All right, we've got the food situation. And then we've got all of a sudden the need for vaccinations because, oh my goodness, what could have happened? And you know what? I just reading up on this and I had no idea. One of the articles I read literally chronicled, and I don't know the TV dramas and all of the different TV police shows and all this stuff. I don't know all of them, but it said it reviewed over the last 2 years, and almost every major TV show that involves the police or Law and Order or CSI or all of these different ones that were listed, every one of them have had at least one, if not multiple episodes about a family who wouldn't vaccinate their children and what that did to hurt the community and the things they had to solve and the what they verily missed happening and the whole thing, I'm sorry, is just a commercial brainwashing America that anybody, I mean, let's start looking out our windows and watching, figuring out who they are. Anybody that won't take this, they are now a danger to our community. They hate you and they hate your children. They don't care if everybody dies. I mean, they're saying crazy stuff like that right now. Just don't wear a mask in some places and see what they'll say about you. You don't care about people. You don't care about people. You don't care about us. And if you cared about people, well, you know, if you can take that and run with it and get people on that and really believe in it and really identifying a group of people who refuse to do some things the government are saying or take some things, I think every parent in here, I think you ought to do your research. I'm not telling you what to do with your kids or not do with your kids, but I think you ought to do some studying before you just get in line. Because if they can have us do this and everybody's required to do it, and by the way, how can we check on this? How can we know just by looking at them? How can we know that they're vaccinated when they come to our store? We got time to sit there and swipe everybody's forehead, take their temperature, worry about face masks. Hey, I know how we can get away with all that stuff. Just make sure everybody takes this. You walk in the door, there's a scanner. Buddy, if your number don't go off and you're walking through that store and you're identified and you're escorted out of that store, well, where are you going to go get food at? What will that be? I don't know. You've read some of the same things I have. There's been talk about microchips being put into people and in their wrists and their arms or their hands. And there's other people that are saying it's going to be some type of a tattoo. You know, this kind of sounds like the book of Revelation. You say, well, I would. Well, would you? I mean, come on. We've already given up a lot of things. We've already probably done a lot of things we said we'd never do. So we better start thinking where the lines are. Okay? And there's all kinds of things going on. All right? And by the way, when I get into some of this, I'm just going to go ahead and say this. If you're brainwashed by the liberal media, you're going to think your pastor's a racist when I get on some things. But I'm not a racist. I have something called common sense. But I'm going to tell you, this is what is happening, where we are having government officials, and I don't care what color they are, bringing men and women in their midst and bowing on their knees to them. Bowing on their knees to them and asking their forgiveness. Many of them, I mean, city councilmen, the whole council comes together and brings a group of people in and gets on their knees and washes their feet. Oh, you say, well, that's what Jesus told us to do. Well, listen, don't hide behind the Bible on this. I mean, I've got pictures. I've got them on my computer of city councilmen on their knees. The whole bunch brought out into the rotunda, and they're on their knees in apology with their head bowed before men. I don't care what color that man is. Any man that stands there and lets you bow a knee to them, what's the Bible say, folks? I mean, they tried to do that to Peter and John, and they said, get up! Get up! You don't worship me. Well, that's not worship. Yeah, that's worship. Well, wait a minute. If we're being trained in another aspect, that it's the right thing to do, it's the tolerant thing to do, to bow our knee before another man. All right, you better look at what we're being trained to, what we're being trained to happen here. So, and watch out, mark of the beast will be more readily accepted than you may think. I got to hurry. The citizens, how about this one? Wow. Citizens of even a free country can be easily convinced to turn on their neighbors. We've got a bunch of self-appointed little members of the Gestapo out there. And the government hasn't had to pay them a bribe. Okay, listen to what I'm going to say here. In Matthew chapter 10, if you're there, close to there, you ought to go look at this. Matthew chapter 10. Part of what Jesus predicted in the end days. Again, we're talking about trial runs. Here we go. Matthew chapter number 10. If you look at verse number 19, Matthew 10 and verse number 19. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Watch this. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child. The father the child. And the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Matthew records this, and ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Now, folks, listen to me. This whole idea of training a populace to tell on each other and to watch each other and to report each other. You say, preacher, that wasn't going on the last couple months. Where have you been? Get your head out of the sand. Okay? Stop just listening to the liberal media. Although they're reporting it and are proud of it. They think these people are heroes. COVID-19 introduced to Americans the idea of turning in your neighbors for disobeying unconstitutional executive orders, and that if you did so, it was the patriotic thing to do. It was the patriotic thing to do. You really cared about your community. You won't let these things go. You say, was this really happening? Yeah, Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti addressed the people of his city, and he opened the address with this question. Some of you are asking, how do I report non-essential businesses that are still open? Think about that. How do I report non-essential businesses that are still open? Who put you in charge of that? Hey, can I give you a little piece of advice that would help everybody and help you to stay American? Mind your own stinking business. Okay? Just because you live beside me didn't put you in charge of me. Okay? If you don't like my business being open, don't go in it. But no, we've got this little Gestapo informant. I'm going to rat everybody out. And we've all got the tools in our pockets to do it. Walk around, snap pictures. We can document. We can. Now listen. Well, where did they send them? Well, I'm glad you asked. Here we go. He then encouraged the people to call and report these business owners to his office. His promise is this: to send business ambassadors, that's what he called them, to send business ambassadors to pay them a visit. If that doesn't work, then they will send in the crisis response team followed by law enforcement who will arrest and detain the business owners. For doing what? Showing up to work and turning the sign from closed to open and doing what we've done in America forever. Listen, I'm so passionate about this because some of you are buying into it. You need to listen to me. Go back to the Old Testament, and it tells us what to do with sick people. If somebody was suspected of having leprosy or something else, you know what? They quarantined the sick. They didn't quarantine the whole camp. They didn't shut down their lives. Do you realize what an unprecedented event just happened in world history? It's the first time. Show me another place you can document where a illness or a sickness came into a country or region, an area, and we quarantined the well people along with the sick people. Show it to me. I mean, do you realize what just happened? That was insane. That was crazy. That's not how you control things. We're talking about this second wave. You know what they literally did by doing that? You realize, folks, that this thing was buying, without a doubt, high 90 percentile survival rate on this thing. And every other thing that's ever swept through our country, yes, and this is a bad one. I'm telling you, it was a bad one. You know what we should have done? We should have protected our most vulnerable. We should have quarantined and protected our most vulnerable. You know what we should have did then? We should have cared for the ones that did get sick. And then we should have buried the ones that died. And then we should have went on living and being free, because that's what we've always done. That's what we've always done as Americans. We live free. And whatever consequences come with freedom, come with freedom. But we don't give away our freedom. Okay, so think about that. Not Los Angeles mayor. Here, let me give you the number. Let me tell you how you get a hold of my office. Mayor Bill de Blasio, New York's mayor. We'll talk about him next week some. Here's what he said, literally. He said, right now it's real easy because everyone's supposed to stay at home. So when you see a crowd, when you see a line that is not distancing, when you see a supermarket that's too crowded, anything that you see, you can report it right away. All you've got to do is take a picture with your phone, put the location on it, send it, and bang, we'll make sure enforcement's on its way. Now think of what they're training our country for. You better think about it. Because one of these days, if you convince a generation that it is the patriotic thing to do, it is your civil duty, that if the powers that be dictate something, whether it makes sense or not, and somebody you see that you don't even know, and you don't think they're complying, all of a sudden they've just deputized an entire population to look and to see and to document and to send it in. Listen, it's more widespread than you know. Andrew Cuomo announced a capital PAUSE pause enforcement assistant task force that would receive and pass along any information informers would share on those in their neighborhood by phone or online. He asked them to, quote, send photos and video of any illegal gatherings in your neighborhood. Mayor Lightfoot in Chicago reported that investigators are now responding, have been dispatched to every neighborhood and are responding to complaints. And then she said this, keep them coming. Keep the complaints coming. The LA mayor that I just talked about here, what was his name again? Garcetti. He got to the point where he said this. It's documented. He threatened to, quote, shut off water and electrical power to the homes of those who refuse to shelter in place. Hello? Well, I'll just do what, okay, all right. Chula Vista, California City Council has an app you can download, and many communities have this, to share pictures of people you feel are not complying to their ordinances. Santa Clara, California, where Brother Treber is, set up a public health referral email address for you at the district attorney's office so that you've got a place to rat out your neighbors who aren't wearing face masks. Judge Ruben Basaria of Hays County, Texas, when asked how he plans to stop non-essential customers from shopping at Lowe's, Home Depot, and other stores. You know, some of you that went into Menards before they started making you wear masks, you know, and Lowe's during this time, and you weren't really contractors, or you didn't do that for a living. You know, you were breaking the law. I seen you in there, because I was in there too. So they're all worried about, well, you know, I know we're keeping these things open, but not everybody that's going in there. And so they were asking this judge, how can we stop this? He said, when you suspect it, call the police. Follow them to their car, take pictures, get proof. What? Frisco, Texas updated its My Frisco, that's what they call their app, My Frisco app, to allow people to turn in those not social distancing or to turn in any non-essential businesses still doing business. Now think about this. This may not sound all that big a deal to somebody that doesn't know the Bible, but when you see where this thing's going and you're training people to say, we're going to pass laws and we do not have enough law enforcement to be able to monitor everybody. So what we need is we need to activate in every neighborhood and every community. I'll tell you this, I read one book, at least one book a year, and I've done it for 20 years, and a lot of times more than that, but I read on purpose one book a year about the Holocaust every single year. I read about it. I don't like reading about it. I don't enjoy those books, but there's some things we better never forget. And so when I talk about this type of stuff, I'm telling you what, I'm reading it off the pages of Nazi Germany. There's only one way that a government that oversteps its authority and its boundaries, it does not have the force to do it without employing civilians and empowering them, and by the way, eventually rewarding them for policing their neighborhoods. You read when Berlin was getting bombed, and the sirens would go off, and they would all head down into the tunnels, into the subways, and they'd sit there, and you read about the people. They wouldn't talk. They wouldn't tell stories. If one of the children tried to ask a question, that shushed them. They were terrified. You know why? Because in every tunnel, they didn't know who it was. But some of their neighbors, a lot of their neighbors, were there for one reason, to listen. And anything that might be said that could be construed to be anti-anything or suspicious, a day or two later, they'd be kicking your door in, dragging you out. Now, we better pay attention to history, okay? Well, I saw so-and-so, and I think they ought to do this, and I think I'll go over there and, okay, you communist. Or you could just mind your own stinking business. They're Americans. They're free. Leave them alone. And I'm telling you something. I am pushing back on it. I'm not going to be bullied or have my family bullied by a bunch of so-called do-gooders that are turning themselves into the puppet of, it may not be this regime, but there's a government coming soon to a town near you. And we can sit there and say, I'm so thankful I live in Indiana. I'm going to tell you something. The country's changed so fast. You don't think Indiana can't change in one election? And there's so much of this. I mean, how much do you want? New Rochelle, New York police chief announced that they were standing ready to receive reports about non-essential social gatherings. Riverside County, California launched an app to report businesses and others who were not compliant. Mayor Lauren Poe of Gainesville, Florida urged citizens to call in and report those around them who were not complying with stay-at-home orders. I mean, folks, there's stories I could do. Houston, Harris County, Texas. 9/11 operators, watch this, across the country are being so swamped with calls from people reporting people who are violating something, they had to finally make public announcements begging people not to call 911. And listen, this isn't the government rewarding them, paying them, threatening them. This is all voluntary. Our country's got to the point where we think not only if somebody's doing something that they shouldn't do, that or we don't agree with, I should say that we don't agree with, that we not only have a right to disagree and say something to their face, we have a right to go call the authorities on them. Okay, if they're breaking a law that they're murdering somebody or killing somebody, but excuse me, folks, this is turning into a control thing. And that's exactly, I mean, look at the Soviet Union. If Stalin would have had cell phones, there'd have been nobody left. Think about it. Read your history. Know what's going on. How did free nations become what they did? This is the path they took. And I can't have time to read them all. What is sad is not that the government bureaucrats are asking people to do it. Yes, that's sad. But what's sad is that the eagerness of Americans to participate in it. By just the first week in April, listen to this. I mean, this was just at the tip of the iceberg. In Chicago, over 500 complaints were called in, and the Chicago authorities wrote over $120,000 in fines levied on businesses and individuals in 1 week. In 1 week. I already told you what's going on with Brother Courtney. You imagine preaching? I'll talk more about this when we talk about how it's affecting the church. But you imagine gathering together with your people? And you talk about a guy that went a lot farther with trying to get along with them than I would have. He's got nurses in his congregation checking people's temperatures. They got the masks on. Social distancing. Everything's marked off. And he's up in the pulpit trying to preach with a mask on in the middle of his sermon. Here comes 5-6 squad cars and 3 black SUVs and a representative from the mayor of Chicago and are beating down the back door, interrupting his sermon. Listen, this is not in some communist country. It's what's happening in America. And you know what? You know why? I can guarantee you this. You know why the government knew they were having church? David and Ashley, I stopped and seen them when I was heading up to Iowa for the wedding. I stopped and seen David and Ashley and got to take the family out to eat. Not in Illinois. We had to drive across the Mississippi River to Iowa, free America, where there was a restaurant open, and then back into communist America. But bought the boys matchbox cars, man. I just got a note from Ashley and David saying, thank you so much for the matchbox cars. Those boys take them everywhere they go. I loved matchbox cars growing up. That was like the coolest thing you could ever have. Do you guys have matchbox cars anymore? You do? You do? You do? You don't? You will have Sunday, brother. I'm going to make sure about that. We cannot let this young man grow up. Well, it's too late. You've already grown up. You have a matchbox car? Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay, do you have one? You sure about that? Okay, you have a matchbox car? Now they may be saying no, so I buy. They don't know what we're talking about. Do you know what a yo-yo is? I should ask your mom, does he have a matchbox car? Any of you girls have matchbox cars? Do you have a matchbox? You don't have, you have matchbox cars? Do you have one? You do? Do you not have a matchbox car? You know what? We're going to have matchbox. Where's Brother Gordon? We got to have matchbox car Sunday here at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. All right. We got to take care of this. This is terrible. And I said, what was I talking about? Okay, I was with David and Ashley. And you know what? Their church that he's taken is on a major highway. And he told me, he said, they never did stop having, they went down to one service a week, but they kept having services in Illinois during this whole thing, one service a week. Every week, they had numerous neighbors called police on them. He said, the police chief sat in my office so many times, and he said he claims to be a Christian. He just looked at him and said, what do you want me to do? You put me in an impossible situation. What do you want me to do? And he just opened the Bible. You know what it says. You know, I'm proud of David. Did it in Illinois. I mean, they got a little dog. If they put the little dog out in the front yard of the church because it's by a highway, and the little dog, they said, he never leaves the front yard. He just goes out and, you know, does his stuff and then goes, you know. And he said, we've had the police called because our dog was out in our front yard for five. You know, what is America turning into? People driving down the road. I'm serious. That is happening more in the cities than you have. You say, well, country people don't do that. Well, some of them do. Okay? And what I'm saying is, man, alive, when you look at all of this in light of the last days, you can see it all lining up. You say, preacher, but that's New York, California. I talked about Texas. I talked about Florida. How about Tennessee? Governor Bill Lee was asked why so many non-essential businesses were still open in Tennessee. His reply, well, the people of Tennessee, they've been doing their part. They've been a powerful force in reporting these offenses. We just do not have enough law enforcement officers to respond to them all. So he said, hey, I'll just let you know. The general public's telling us about it. We just can't get to everybody yet. What is going on with us? Okay, East Germany, Soviet Union, everywhere governments seized iron fist and unfettered power over their people. They always used informants in every neighborhood of the community. These informants were secretly rewarded. They were taken care of for the information that they provided. And by the way, it wasn't the stellar citizens. It was the people. Come on, you think, I'm not trying to be mean. But there's people that have never had anything and never had any power, and they've always been treated a little bit like the off-scour, and they've created some of their own circumstances. And the government comes to you and say, you want to get even with all these people that have kind of always talked you down, put you down, thought you were nothing? Yeah, it'll work here in America. I'll finish with this. There's a price to be paid for voting socialistic politicians and moral perverts into office. Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. I'm going to talk to you about some of this next week. But you know, America wanted to feel good about themselves, about being tolerant, open-minded. Universities brainwashed all our kids into thinking like socialists and being critical of our Constitution. I mean, there is active talk. I hope you are paying attention. Active talk that it's time to completely tear up our Constitution and write a brand new one because it no longer applies to our country where it is. It's outdated. It's archaic. We just need a whole new Constitution. I mean, that is not just some crazy over in a corner. That is being said out loud in prominent circles now. And you know what? We wanted to feel good about ourselves. More worried about our vote in our pocketbook than we were the Bible. You know, wanted to make sure everybody thought we were progressive. And all these poor, oppressed sodomites. You know, let's show that we are tolerant. We are understanding. Well, talk to Pastor Scott Arthur down there in Mississippi. 84-year-old preacher. Shows up to church and asks his people just to come into the parking lot. To park a couple of cars away from each other and keep their windows rolled up. He can't even stand for a whole sermon, so he goes up on the platform, sits down with a microphone, and he preaches to an empty auditorium while his people have the radio on, just listening to their 84-year-old preacher. And the pervert that's in charge, the pervert politician that's in charge, tells the chief of police, you go down there and you write a $500 citation to everybody in that parking lot. Okay. I hope you're taking notes. I hope you're taking notes. Well, preacher, it didn't stand. Well, maybe it never stands the first time. Every communist is taught this. This is what they're taught. three steps forward, two steps back. So they push the envelope. Are you watching this right now at Hammond? They push the envelope to the point where people, no! And then they take a couple steps back, but they don't go back to where they were. Then they let everybody simmer down. This has been happening, folks. It's been happening in the 58 years of my lifetime. I've watched three steps forward, two steps back in every social arena. And so they've gained a step. And we said, well, we pushed them back. Did we push them back to where they were? So they just wait until we kind of huff and puff and smoke clears and then, okay. Well, we taught them a lesson. No, they're teaching us a lesson. That's how they take over. That's how Soviet Union got taken over. That's how Hitler came into power. And that's what's happening in the United States of America right in front of our faces. Folks, what we're seeing is the last days come. They're doing five and maybe one back. Because their wickedness is getting bolder and bolder. And the pushback is getting weaker and weaker. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to just contemplate, meditate on these things. May it drive us to prayer. May it drive us to repentance. May it drive us to revival. Lord, I pray, God, that you'll help our country. We need you. I'm not sure that there's just a remnant that really gets it. Maybe it's just a remnant. But Lord, you said you'd spare Sodom for 10. That was a wicked place. Lord, I think your mercy is amazing. Lord, it's up to us. My people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. Lord, we need you. We need you desperately right now. Oh, we need you. I pray, Lord, that you'll just use the few things that were said tonight as a catalyst for good in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name.